The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the third chapter of Revelation, beginning with the fourth verse. These are the message or the words to the church at Sardis in Asia Minor. "You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming in judgment at the end of the world, dear fellow redeemed. Today, in the church year, we celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther, through whom God restored the gospel in its truth and purity when it had long become a hidden treasure in the medieval church. Luther confessed that we are justified or declared righteous by nothing we do or accomplish, but alone through Christ's redemptive work, which is ours through faith in him as the Savior. Yesterday was the birthday of Martin Chemnitz, who systematized the teachings of Luther and preserve them, so that in church history we say that if the second Martin Chemnitz, had not come, the first Martin Luther, would scarcely have stood. These heroes of faith are among those spoken of in our text who have overcome and have been clothed in white robes. They are part of that multitude who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And this morning we want to think about that multitude, asking ourselves first, why white robes? What's the benefit? Well, what's the meaning? As I was growing up, my grandmother believed very firmly in making homemade lye soap. My mother would boil on the cook stove the tallow from the beef that we had butchered and purified it, and then grandmother took that tallow and made her soap. As far as she was concerned, if all else failed, use lye soap. We by nature, however, are so tainted and covered with sin that even lye soap won't help. Oh, we are covered with the filth of sin from head to toe. There's nothing good in any of us. We are by nature lost in sin, and we can do nothing to change it. The only thing that will wash away sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and his sacrifice, which all the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to, as the prophet, as the writer in Hebrews points out. And therefore, John can say in those beautiful words, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We've been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. But how does that come to you today? Comes to you in the means of grace. Baptism is the washing of regeneration, where we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. We could never stand on our own before the holy and just God, dressed in the garment of our own righteousness, which is covered with filth and stench, as Isaiah tells us. But in baptism, each one of us was clothed with Christ. We were covered with him, intimately connected to him, so that his holy life and his holy death were counted as ours. We were covered with that glorious garment of Jesus' blood and righteousness. With that white garment, through it, the Father sees each and every one of us here this morning as his sinless children, ready to stand in the Lamb's high feast. Now we, as the saints of God, those who have washed their robes, continue to wash them each day in our life, each day of our life, because they become tainted as we make our daily walk in this life. How do we do that? By returning to our baptism through true repentance and faith. The believer hates the dust of sin that still clings to our garments as we make our daily walk. Think about our lives. How can we let our lusts and our passions have free course? And you know how they burn inside of us. How can we just let them go when Jesus shed his own blood to blot them out? How can we be bitter and hateful, not helping those around us, when Jesus endured hatred and bitterness to cover those very sins? We can't this morning sit here and say, I believe in Jesus, and at the same time be planning to crucify him anew by the things that we're going to do yet this morning. The things don't fit together. And yet, doesn't that happen to every one of us again and again in our lives? It's a wretched thing, our sinful flesh, that still clings to us, isn't it? Therefore, this morning, may we each repent of our sins, not just with our lips saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but with our hearts, that we have wounded and broken the dear Savior's heart. What we will do is we will again return to our baptism through confession and absolution. What we do as we confess our sins is that we literally take our tainted robes and again throw them back into the font. And then through the word of forgiveness, they are cleansed again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Don't fear. There is no sin so great or so terrible. There are no sins so many that cleansing tide flowing from the dear Savior's side, that it won't cover. A wonderful thing. A wonderful comfort for each of us. And now, what's the blessing of those white robes? The Lord says, the names of those who have been clothed in white robes will not be blotted out of the book of life. That white robe that we have from baptism assures us of eternal life and the certainty that we'll be preserved in unto our end in the true faith. So then this morning, as we sit here, we know that heaven is our fatherland. Heaven is our home. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, which emphasizes the joys of heaven. Because our name has been written in the book of life, each one of us here have the certainty that the Lord's not going to forsake us in our struggles and in our conflicts and our difficulties. And be that loneliness, be that despair, be that failure in our life, be that the death of one most near and dear. He will hold us secure, strengthening us through his means of grace. St. Paul says, in all the burdens of life, when I consider the sufferings of this present life, they're not worthy to be compared to the glories that will be revealed to us there. That's the joy of heaven. We will be with the triune God, our brothers and sisters who've gone before, and multitudes upon multitudes of angels. We were made by nature to have union and communion with God, and we are never at rest until our heart rests in the Lord. And that's what heaven is. There we will be face to face with our gracious Savior, enjoying forever the loving countenance of his holy face, filling us with divine joy and happiness. There all the sorrows of this life will be over, and we will rest from our labors. For God the Lord says that he will wipe all tears from our faces, and there will be no more death, nor crying, nor pain, nor any such thing, because the former things have passed away. Luther, Chemnitz, and every one of us here are part of that great band that are dressed in white robes because of our baptismal flood that came to us, and therefore we have the certainty that we will enjoy forever the Lamb's high feast, the feast of heaven. Amen.